You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the...
Good afternoon, or I would say good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you doing today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Mike, joined as always by 2020 Miami Dolphins Fan of the Year, Big E, Ian Berger. Ian, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Mike. I'm still kind of gleaming from our Saturday night victory at Hard Rock Stadium. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that, but man, what a great week this has been.
Absolutely. It's been a fantastic week to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins. And first off, just want to give a big shout out to everyone watching over at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, everyone watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great Carlos Hernandez. Hello to everyone on Facebook. And Ian, we also got to give a shout out to Bud Light.
Oh, look at those beers, man.
Bud Light. Everyone, it's now official in the Miami area only. Everyone go check out their limited edition Miami Dolphins packs available as of this past Monday, August 23rd at participating Miami area retailers. So everyone in South Florida, grab your Bud Light bottles with the Miami Dolphins logo on it. Can't get in front of the screen. There it is. Limited edition. Get them before supplies run out. And as always, drink responsibly, Ian.
Yeah, no, and I saw a bunch of those at tailgating on Saturday evening. They, you know,
so if you're gonna, it might have been leaked early. Yeah,
and I'll tell you too, some people who don't normally drink Bud Light, they had cases of Miami Dolphins Finns Bud Light in their cooler. So that was a nice touch.
And I had a thought, you know, with Bud Light, Manscaped, and BetUS, our new slogan should be beers, balls, and betting. Right?
You got the three B's, right?
The three B's, baby.
I like it.
All right. So let's start off today's show talking about the big news that happened on Monday, or on Tuesday, I should say, with a few roster moves. Nothing too surprising. I guess one of them kind of stands out. That was Lynn Bowden Jr., the third-round pick of the Raiders last season that Miami Dolphins traded for, was put on IR. He's out for the season unless they give him an injury settlement and resign him at a later date, which I hope they don't do. Because I do not want to release him. I would rather stash him. And because I think in a year, when next year this time, you know, who knows if Parker will be here? Who knows if Will Fuller, who's on a one-year deal, will be here? Who knows what's going to be up with Preston Williams or Wilson will be here? I would rather, you know, for him, he might not want this, but just not let him play this year and don't release him and just sort of stash him and have him there for next year ready to go. What are your thoughts?
You know, it was unfortunate with Foster because he was really making a name for himself during training camp. I've already got my mind already on Foster, but Lynn Bowden actually on the opposite side, his name wasn't getting called a lot, you know? So when we were talking about cuts, I want to say it was either last week or the week before last, I said, you know, Lynn Bowden, his name has not gotten called, even though he may have been a favorite of the coaches, even though he can run a couple of different positions like he did last season. He wasn't showing up to camp for one reason or another. So I don't know, you know, what that was. The hamstring injury obviously bothered him and ended up putting him on this IR. But, you know, again, who knows what's going to happen. If I know we unfortunately have a history of wide receivers that do get injured, and he may be needed. He already, you know, he spent pretty much the majority of training camp with the team. So he knows what the team is doing. And it looks like from what we've seen with Isaiah Ford in the past, the Dolphins try and bring back guys that know the system, that have already seen our playbook, so they don't have a huge learning curve to learn the system.
Yeah. And the thing here with Lynn Bowden, if they release him with an injury settlement, you know, he doesn't have to come back, or he can sign with anybody, or
sure,
or he goes to waivers, actually, I believe. So it's a risk if you do release him with an injury settlement. He might not ever be back. That's why I would just hold on to him, because it is a year where we do have a lot of wide receivers. Granted, they're all injury prone, but right now, I think come week one, the ones you want to be healthy will be healthy. So we'll see what they do, because that's going to be an interesting thing to watch over the next few weeks here with Lynn Bowden Jr. and how they handle this situation. Also, Isaiah Ford, he was released. Robert Foster, the wide receiver, who was pretty good in camp, he was released, as well as the offensive lineman, whose last name I always butcher, so I'm going to try my best, folks, Jermaine Oluminor. He was released as well, and they signed him. He was a starter last year for the Patriots. So he came to Miami with the thought, I think, of being a backup offensive tackle. He got here, and they wanted him at guard. So I don't know if he didn't look well at offensive tackle or what, but he was one of the first four or five guys out the door there.
I don't know. You want to make a wager, Mike? I don't know if you want to make a wager or not. What are the chances that Isaiah Ford is going to be back with the team? Because hasn't he already been back like five times? All right.
He's been back in years where they've had nothing at wide receiver. This year, they haven't so many guys there. This seriously might be the end of the road for him, but he is like a bad penny. He keeps coming back. So anything's possible, but I think really a lot of guys would have to get hurt for him to return. They traded him last year, and a month later, after he was cut, they still signed him. Who resigns a guy that you trade to get rid of? It's so rare to see. This really might be the end of the road. Other news, it's being reported, and I don't know how accurate. I think it's more, I should say, it's more speculation than report that Mac Jones might be the starting quarterback here for the Patriots week one. Now, here's a couple things. One, with the Patriots, nobody knows what the hell they're going to do with that head coach. He will hold everything close to his vest. You can't get a read on him. I mean, it's like wallpaper. I mean, who knows? But there's a lot of rumblings, rumors. It's out there that Mac Jones could be the starting quarterback week one when the Miami Dolphins travel to Foxborough. Ian, I'd rather face Mac Jones than Cam Newton. I don't know about you.
No, man. You know, rookie quarterback, his first ever game in the National Football League to open a season. I would eat that up all day long. I would love that, because most rookies in their first ever game, you know, everything's going so fast for them that they really do have a challenging time. Not to say it happens 100% of the time, but the majority of the times, rookie quarterbacks starting their first ever NFL games tend to have some trouble. So I would be okay with that, you know, and what do you think the Dolphins defensive line will be putting their ears back and just running after Mac Jones? And the other thing too, is, and the one thing that worries me with Cam, you know, he's one of those mobile quarterbacks, right? And even though he is older, he still has the ability to get out of the pocket, just like he did at the beginning of last year. And he'll pick up 5, 10, 15 yards, or pick up that first down on a third down and short. So I'd almost prefer a Mac Jones, who's probably more of your typical pocket passer than Cam Newton is. At least he stays in the pocket a little bit more often than Cam Newton does. So I would prefer that.
Yeah, with Mac Jones, he is a, I mean, he ain't moving nowhere. I mean, that guy's got no speed at all. He's a cigar shop wooden Indian. He's just gonna stand there. I mean, he ain't getting out of the pocket. He ain't moving. So I'd rather face someone like him, rookie first game, take my chances with him. So that's something to keep an eye on. But again, with the Patriots, you just never know. And even if something's leaked or something's reported, I wouldn't believe it. We probably won't know till Sunday, September 12th at about noon, who's really going to be starting a quarterback, just because I don't trust those slimy little SOBs. You mentioned the preseason game against Atlanta, 37-17 win. That was for a preseason game. Now, look, I know Atlanta sat 23 players, and a lot of those guys were key guys. I get it. So we take everything with a grain of salt. But if you're a fan of the team, as I always say, Ian, I'd rather look good against the backups than look bad. Because if you look good, at least you go, that's what they're supposed to do, and that's very good. If they looked bad, I'd be nervous as all heck and be wringing my hands right now. So even though they said a lot of guys, I don't care, they look good. And the two big things everyone wants to talk about, number one, the offensive line. I wouldn't say it was great, but it was a hell of a lot better than it was against the Chicago Bears.
Yes,
so
sir.
Improvement at least. And two, the quarterback continued to have another nice game. Footwork was amazing. Accuracy was great. And, you know, he looks like the guy, even if it was against backups, I don't care. He looks like the guy we all hoped he would be when he took him number 5 overall.
First, I need to talk about the environment there at Hard Rock Stadium before we talk about the field. I mean, the fans that were there, and I want to say there were about 35,000, 40,000 fans that's at Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, that's a lot more than we had last year. We had 13,000, right, at any given game, and we didn't have a preseason. So this was so much fun to be back, and there was the one play when Atlanta was 4th and 1 or 4th and 2 at the goal line, and that crowd was as loud as a 65,000 people sitting in that stadium. It was really that loud. And then of course we stopped them and that made it even louder, but it was just great to see that atmosphere again. There was some tailgating, not to the same level as the regular season. It's going to be insane, I think, come the regular season, but it was so fun to be there. Fans were psyched. Everybody was happy to see each other. And I got the chance to bring my entire family, which was really special. My wife and two girls haven't been to a game together probably in about 4 or 5 years. I always take one of them with me because we only have two tickets. But anyway, on the field, loved watching Tua. You really can't ask for much more from the guy, you know. And you talk about one of the things that we were looking for this game was the offensive line to hold strong. The offensive line to create holes for the running game, the offensive line to allow Tua to be able to shift in the pocket and throw. And that's what they did. They did that for pretty much his entire time, time that he was in the game. And, you know, Miles Gaskin looked nice. Salvin Ahmed, not as good as the week prior against the Bears, but Salvin Ahmed was respectable. Jared Doakes, my guy, I was the second leading rusher for the game, which was really nice. And I was very happy to see that. And then the defense too. Defense held very strong. Like you said, we were playing against their second string players, but I don't care. It's a football game. It's under
like against the second stringers. That's what you're supposed to do.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed to beat whoever you're playing. So, you know, we could have won by 40 or 50 and it still would have been, you know, it's our team versus yours. You got to put on your best player. So I was excited about the game. The outcome of the game was perfect. Stayed until the last minute. And it's a great feeling to go into these last couple of weeks, because now, you know, if anyone says that Tua has not taken the right steps, then they haven't been watching these last couple of weeks of football for the Miami Dolphins. And yes, it's not regular season football yet, but where he is today is light years from where he was at the beginning of last season.
Can you imagine if he struggled in these first couple of games, like everyone would be out with their pitchforks, like people would be going nuts. Fans would be ready to pop off their roof and people in the media would be just going absolutely insane, just ready to kill the guy. So it's one of those things where it's no win, because you look good in the preseason. By week one, nobody's going to care about the preseason, but at least he's looking good, like I said, against the backups, because that's what he's supposed to do. And the fact he is playing well is promising. And his footwork to avoid the rush and get out of the pocket makes that offensive line look better than it is at times, because still center Michael Dieter, I mean, he still struggled at times. He was getting moved a lot, but when you have a quarterback who knows how to navigate the pocket, it gets hidden, and that's what you want. So Tua looked good. Malcolm Brown, I thought, looked much better this week and sort of calmed down fans who thought he was the next coming of Jordan Howard. He's not. I mean, I'm not saying he's great, but he's not Jordan Howard. So he looked much better. The big scare, Jalen Waddle.
What a scare.
I will say, I said this after the game to Tom, and I am so happy they have him on this team, because we saw it last year in the national championship game when he was out there limping around. Alabama was up by 100 points. He's out there limping around, wouldn't come off the field, showing toughness. Now, it might not be the smartest thing in the world, but he is tough. And then in this game, he gets hit, knee, thigh, groin. I don't know where the hell he was hit. He's on the field rolling around limping. It's a preseason game. He runs in the back tunnel, comes back out, puts his helmet on, and runs back on the field. He is tougher than a woodpecker's lips. He just is out there, and he is unbelievably tough. And I know, as I told Tom, I think with him, just because of his size and just because of his build, we're going to see this a lot where he is maybe down on the ground getting hits, because he's not built like a Julio Jones or one of those guys. He's a smaller guy, so he might not be able to take the hit some of these other guys can. But, man, you know he will do everything in his power to get back on that field. And we saw that on Saturday night again, on top of what we saw last year at Alabama.
You know, Mike, and I hate to say this, but we've been rightfully so talked about as having some very fragile wide receivers. I mean, just if you look at the last 2 years, and, you know, we've had some wide receivers that have gone out for various injuries that you would think they might be able to play through, but they wouldn't for one reason or another. And of course, too, that could have been the coach's decision to not play them for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But Waddle has made it clear, you know, even through training camp, when you see him running around and he's limping, there's something bothering him, but it doesn't matter. He's still playing.
You're going to have
and
to chop off a leg.
Exactly. Then you saw that. And that's, you know, you need that kind of guy. Again, like you said, though, hopefully it's not to his detriment where he's going to injure himself even further if he does do that, because that's what you can sometimes see. But I love that toughness. You need that toughness on your team, especially in that position where we haven't seen that kind of toughness in a while.
He is kind of like Landry had that in him. Landry was that guy. Landry was a little bit larger. He could absorb more of the hits. Waddle has more speed, not the same type of player. But Landry had that in him to where you were going to have to drag him off the field. You were going to have to literally drag him off the field. Yep. He wasn't going to leave. With Waddle, he has that it. And I don't even know what the injury was. I don't even think it was ever reported, really, because when I saw it live, everyone was saying, oh, my God, the knee. And I saw it again on slow-mo, and I'm like, I think he got hit in the groin area, and I think that's why he's kind of out there rolling around. But it was either the thigh, knee, or something in the groin. I'm not even sure.
It was a shin. I thought it may have been a shin.
I don't even know what it was. And I didn't hear much about it after the game either, because when he returned, everyone's like, well, he must be fine. Who cares? Which is kind of true. At that point, who cares? But, man, he looked like he was in so much pain. But he left, and within 5-10 minutes, he's back out there in a meaningless game, which might not have been wise, but good God almighty, he is tough.
I love that. I love that. You love to see that, because that type of toughness from one player
rubs off on others.
It will absolutely rub off on other guys. So you need to have that. You need to see that.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, we didn't see much from Jones and Howard. They did play a little, but I'm not worried about Jones and Howard. They're going to be ready week one. I am not worried about that. The pass rush was good. Now, when Atlanta's second-string quarterback there, whose name right now slips my mind, and they had
Franks.
To go this,
was it Franks?
Franks was a third-string who came third in after him. Right. Franks the was one. The other one was halfway decent. I can't remember his name.
He went out on injured reserve, right?
Yeah, he hurt his knee. It looked like in a non-contact play, but the next play he got hit, and that's when he just kind of stayed down, unfortunately.
A.J. McCarron.
He was, you know, okay. Franks was just not a threat to even pass the ball. But Miami looked okay on that side of the ball. I thought some of the younger guys played well. But just overall, a very impressive win. And what you want to see in a preseason, impressive. And we'll talk about the Cincinnati game here in a moment. But, Ian, it's that time in the show.
I love this time in the show, Mike.
It's that time in the show. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. It's back to school time, and we want to make sure you pack the essentials to have the best year yet. The Manscaped 4th Generation Performance Package is just that. Things are opening up. Be ready for whatever is in the daily schedule for you. It's the perfect package for your package and includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. Fellas, go for the valedictorian of ball trimming and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com using the promo code DolphinsTalk and saving 20% in your order and get free shipping. After trimming your pubes and cleaning your holes, show them some love with Manscaped's liquid formulations, a crop preserver ball deodorant and crop reviver ball toner are here to get you ready for class during the day and ready for the party at night. Everyone go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% and get free shipping, Ian.
At your home, the DolphinsTalk.com, home of the bets, balls,
beer,
and beer.
Beer, balls, and betting.
Beers. Say that 5 times fast.
Beers, balls, and betting.
Beers, ball, betting. Beers, ball,
and so we already did the beers. We already did the balls. Now it's time for the betting.
About betting.
Yes. Life is back on Sports Bettors, and BetUS has your UFC, PGA, college football, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting on all of it. Log in to BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. That's 800-79-BETUS for BetUS's 125% sign-on bonus with the promo code DolphinsTalk. Also, if you want to pay by crypto, that's right. I'm not into crypto. I don't know. But if people out there are listening and you're into crypto, use the promo code DolphinsTalk200, and it's a 200% sign-on bonus. not 125, 200% if you're paying with crypto. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kicked off. Started now. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry, BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com is the very best when it comes to online sports betting. And Ian, you know, college football starts next week. There's a few games, and I've already looked. There's a couple games I like. I might place a bet. And come NFL, you got the over-under. So if you think the Miami Dolphins are going to win a lot of games this year, their over-under is like at 9.5. If you think they're going to win 10, 11 games,
gotta be over.
Put it, exactly. Be over, if you think they're going to win more than 9.5, go to BetUS, put down a few bucks, bet the over, and just wait till January to collect, baby. Make some easy money. BetUS.com. Promo code DolphinsTalk. 125% sign-on bonus. Paying by crypto. Promo code DolphinsTalk200. It's a 200% on sign-on bonus.
Balls, bets, beer. Balls, beer, bet. Beers, bet, balls.
Beers, balls, bet.
Beers, balls, bet. Beers, balls, bet. Beers, balls,
that's
bet.
Our new slogan here at DolphinsTalk.com. Although, really, for the beer, this is probably the one and only week. But still, I kind of like it, so we might keep it. Cincinnati game is this Sunday, 4 p.m. CBS, nationally televised, so you can watch it from the comfort of your home, own home, people. You don't have to worry about an online stream or anything like that. There it is for the people watching online. First question, Ian.
Yes, sir.
Would you play Tua Tagovailoa at all this week?
You know, I probably would just put him in for a series just so he gets on the field, just so he's able to do some stuff, maybe throw a pass, get a couple handoffs, just so you get that feel of going into the game. But really, more than that, it's you don't have to. You shouldn't have to, right?
I wouldn't play him at all. I see no upside to playing him. He left on a high note after the Atlanta game. Why put him out there where, A, something crazy could happen and he gets hurt? Or B, say he struggles and you go into week one where the sky is falling. Oh, my God, questions about Tua. He left on a high note versus Atlanta. Won't even let him see the field till September 12th. Just let it be. And I wouldn't play him. That's me. We'll see what happens. I don't know. They can do anything. Also, I guess, what do you want to see from this game here against Cincinnati? I know a lot of guys are going to sit. You're not going to see Howard or Jones. And there's going to be a lot of other guys. We're not going to see any of the wide receivers that matter. What would you like to see in this game?
I think what I'm looking for is some of these bubble players to really step up and just kind of win their spots. You know, there are some fights that are still out there. I think that the running back position still has a couple of question marks towards the tail end of the running back room. You know, you've got Patrick Laird, who's been with the team for a couple seasons. He really hasn't done much this preseason or this during training camp. And it's an opportunity for him to do something. He'll probably end up playing the game a lot between him, Jared Doakes, and our other running back. I think you're going to see them. Yeah, exactly. You're going to see them a lot during this game. Same when it comes to linebackers, the back end. You just want somebody to step up to say, you know, listen, maybe I'm not going to get a spot here, but I'm going to do enough during this game so that if another team sees my tape, they're going to sign me to something. Or the Dolphins feel strong enough and are able to let somebody go and then bring them back on the practice squad. Cause we are going to have to fill that practice squad roster with guys. And why not do it with guys that you've already started to develop? Right. So like a Fegidellum is another one, you know,
I got that name down.
Is that Fegidellum? It's not Fegidellum.
Nope.
It's Fegidellum.
That's all one right, of my bad. Say. So
that's what I want to see. That's, and of course too, I want to see winning. I'd love to see the Dolphins take advantage of the Bengals' decrepit offensive line. And I say that honestly, because they really haven't done much to upgrade the offensive line. And that same offensive line we're going to see this weekend is the same one that got Joe Burrow killed, basically. Not killed, but hurt, you know, injured significantly last season. I'd love to see some of these second string players be able to push them around a little bit. Not that I want to see Burrow get hurt. Of course not. We don't want to see that. But I'd love to see our defense push him around.
Yeah, and it was announced on Wednesday that Joe Burrow is going to play some. Now, it sounds like he's not going to play a lot because he hasn't played at all yet this preseason. But he's going to probably get maybe a few series in this game Sunday. The one thing I want to see, and I think it's the one starting job that's kind of open still, Liam Eichenberg playing the whole game at right tackle. Let's see what happens. Start him first snap to the last snap. Let's see what happens. maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't. I still think they're probably going to go Jesse Davis, but if Eichenberg plays well, then anything is possible. And that's the one thing I think is the last question, at least when it comes to starting 22 on this team. What's going to happen at right tackle? And I think Solomon Kinley looks like he's kind of found a spot there at left guard. But once again, who knows with our staff, they can do anything. So
Ian, remember, he was in with the third string team.
He started off in the doghouse.
Yeah.
I think if Eichenberg didn't get hurt that week of the Bears joint practice, because he was at left guard up until that week when he got hurt. If he didn't get hurt, I think Eichenberg would still be at left guard.
Yeah, it's possible.
I really do. I think he missed a couple days. He missed the first preseason game. Solomon went in there. He held his own, looked okay. And ever since then, they go, okay, right tackle. And we'll see if he wins the job or not. But I think that's where this is going. Offensive line needs to play. I don't know if I'm playing the whole first half. That's
not worth getting him hurt for.
I'm not risking this. Yeah, you cannot risk anything in this game, especially now so close to the season. So, Ian, we put out a tweet this morning asking for mailbag questions, and I got one. Well, some of them were the same, so I just picked one. We got about six or seven we can go through that were pretty good, I thought, worth reading. So let's go to the mailbag.
Here comes the Dolphins talk.
Mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes
the Dolphins talk.
Mailbag, gotta read some for all you folks.
He still can't get over that, man. Yeah.
All right.
It's awesome.
First email is from Will in Fort Myers, Florida. What is going on with Jalen Phillips? Are you worried things have really been quiet with him this training camp? I will start this one because I brought this up with Tom on the postgame show. He was on the field and he played the first third down of the game, literally like the third play of the game, third and long. He comes running off the field. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't this why we drafted him to get after the quarterback on third and long? He's running off the field the third snap of the game. He can't be winded. So I'm not worried. I'm not. I just think here's the thing with Jalen Phillips. A, he got hurt early on in camp, so that kind of slowed things down for him. And plus, he really only had one good year in college. He's not someone who was a star for multiple years. So it might take him most of this year to sort of adjust. He's more of a long-term pick than an instant Waddle type who you put him on the field week one, boom. And now, yes, someone put up he played a lot late in the game. I know, but I want him playing early in the game. He was picked 18th overall. That's what I want to see him out there. So I'm not worried, but, yeah, it is interesting to watch that here with Jalen Phillips.
You know, some of the people that have watched Jalen Phillips throughout his career and saw him with the University of Miami said that he has a different gear come game day. You know, come a regular season game that he's just got this motor that just doesn't quit for some reason. So I think the Dolphins are going to use him at with different packages. I don't know if you're going to see him in the entire game. You know, I think they're going to kind of ease him into that kind of role to start out with and then see how that goes. But I'm not worried either. It's not something I think we should be worried about. He's a rookie. You know, yes, you want a rookie to start from day one, but also you want him to be successful and effective from day one. So I think that's what the coaches are trying to do with him.
Yeah, and I also think there's a lot of fans of the Dolphins who are still irked that they didn't take Najee Harris. And if they see Jalen Phillips coming along slowly, they're like, we could have had Najee. But folks, you got to get over that, really. The draft is over. You can't go back in time. It's
the fans
over.
wanted Travis Etienne too, and unfortunately he's done for the season.
I actually wanted him.
There was a lot of people that wanted him, and it's unfortunate.
I still don't know why Jacksonville freaking drafted him. Makes no sense to me. Yeah. From Jason Pugluzzi on Twitter, Pug1988 on Twitter. I enjoy the podcast very much. My question, okay, how concerned are you with the offensive line depth? Yeah, very. I'm not too concerned with the starters, as I've been saying from the start. I think we'll be okay with the starters. Not great, but okay. The depth behind them, we got nothing. I mean, they made a trade for Little. As you know, he's not that great, but compared to what we had, okay, maybe a little bit of a step up. But this is going to be a spot after we make the cuts next Tuesday to 53, where this roster is not set because they're going to be looking for backup offensive linemen to pick up who are let go from other teams because there is not a lot of depth on this offensive line that you can trust.
Yeah, and you know, you think of who they've got backing, you know, in the back end of the offensive line, and you've got players like Skura, who's been playing with the third string offense, right? And
I'm not sure you're going to make the team.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the starting center from what we originally thought. Now,
I think Cameron Tom is playing well.
Yeah, exactly. And then also Adam Pankey, you know, even during preseason games, he really looked like a turnstile, unfortunately. And, you know, he didn't look like he was effective. So that really leaves you, you know, Little, Jones, Coleman. And I think Coleman is going to stick around just because he is a newly drafted player. I don't know if the coach wants to give up on him after 2 months. And that was also the player that he called, even though I don't think it makes any difference to the coach. If he's not performing well, he's going to get him cut. But how concerned am I with the backups? You know, we don't have a starting caliber team on the second line, which most teams do not. So it's a matter of making sure.
Well, most teams have at least one or two guys. Now we're going to have one because either Liam Eichenberg or Jesse Davis is not going to start.
Correct.
So you got one guy. The problem is, and they both can play some guard or some offensive tackle. Okay. The problem is interior. Center's the biggest worry I have, and I don't know if any of our centers are really that good. So that's a worry. And so it's a little bit of a concern. I mean, it's probably the largest concern we have when it comes to depth. But yeah. Also, let's just hope nobody gets hurt.
but you know, here's something that we have seen with this organization, especially with Coach Flores, is they're finding guys that can play in different roles. And that's why they've been testing them at different roles during the preseason and during training camp. In case someone does go down, you could shift guys that have played in other roles to kind of plug those in. And you're not in a devastating position. Yeah, you may not be in the same, you know, in a good spot, but you're not going to be in a spot where, you know, the next play your quarterback's going to get sacked for a fumble for a touchdown recovery, like that game with Ryan Tannehill when Laremy Tunsil went down and they just didn't have anyone that could back him up. So I think we had was it Young that was
Sam I want to say Young,
with yeah. Sam Young who came in at
yeah,
that.
It was a mess, but yeah, and that is something else too. If someone goes down, all depending on who it is, Robert Hunt can play right tackle in the pinch or right guard. Jesse Davis can play everything except for center. Liam Eichenberg, left guard, right tackle. And it kind of leads to our next question here from Ed in Davie, Florida. Why aren't they giving Liam Eichenberg a shot at left tackle? He played left tackle at Notre Dame at a high level. That might be more of a natural fit for him. It's a fair question. I don't know the answer. A couple things. Number one, you have a lefty quarterback. So his blind side for two is the right side. It might be they want to give him a shot there. Also, left guard, you know, Solomon Kindley, he didn't come into camp lighting the world on fire. So it was something that they had to fill. And since he's used to the left side, they've, you know, taking a guy from offensive tackle to guard, it's not the hardest change in the world. He used to play on the left side. So I think that's why they tried him out there. Now, look, if something happens to Austin Jackson or he really, really struggles, the long-term plan might be Liam Eichenberg at left tackle, but not right now. But it's a fair question because I'm a little surprised they didn't give him more run there.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. You know, I know that obviously, like I just mentioned, the coaches have been trying players in different roles, and I don't know why Liam wasn't put in that left tackle position. So I think time will tell on, you know, ultimately what the coach decides he wants to do down the road. But I'd like to see Liam somewhere on the starting line at some point. You just got to find the right spot. You got to find the right fit for him.
Yeah, and also with Liam Eichenberg, it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. And plus, I don't know if they really wanted to mess with Austin Jackson's head. Now, you have to remember, they took Austin Jackson, who's a true left tackle. Once again, round one, I think it was pick 18 as well, round one. You know, if you start messing with his head after 1 year, you're in real – that's, you know – he's a round one pick, and he really, I mean, he could slide over to the right side, but he's not like Eichenberg where that's, you know, it's a little bit tougher for him. So they probably want to make sure Austin Jackson succeeds at all costs at left tackle, and they don't want to move him around. And if you move him to give Liam Eichenberg reps, then you might have a mess that you don't really have, but you're making your own mess. So that could be a reason too. I don't know though. Sure. John in Orlando, outside of Jakeem Grant, do you see any other players on this roster who have any trade value who Miami may be able to trade and get a late round pick for instead of having to cut them. Yeah, I see a couple. Well, Grant's the obvious one, clearly, because he brings as a returner. A couple other names, Ian, off the top of my head. I think Albert Wilson, I know he lit it up in camp, but once again, they have so much depth at wide receiver. If you want to hold on to Grant because of his return game, if Wilson's not there, it ain't the end of the world. And if a team wants to part with like a fifth or, you know, you could see Wilson get traded too, because that does open up more salary cap space because his contract's a little bit more. I don't expect it. Wouldn't shock me. The other thing with Hunter Long back, once again, I said the same thing about Waddle. Long must be tougher. He's tough too because he's back on the field. They have a log jam at tight end. Now, you're not going to trade Long, obviously, but Smythe, possible. Maybe. In the final year of his deal, he could have a little bit of value to a team. Those guys, maybe Shaheen. I don't know if a team wants to trade for an unvaccinated player. That's a whole other ball of wax. But those are the areas. I think tight end, wide receiver, cornerback, Jamal Perry, maybe. I don't know. Look, those guys are probably it. Now, I'm not even sure some of those guys have value, but those would be the areas where you have an excess.
You know, what's interesting, and somebody floated this idea, and I thought to myself, it wouldn't surprise me, but could the Dolphins trade DeVante Parker and leave, you know, Preston as one of the top wide receivers, Waddle obviously as another one, Albert Wilson, Fuller. You've got a great group of wide receivers still. You could get some significant value for DeVante Parker if you were to trade him now, even though he's still wearing a red jersey to camp. But I saw that Steven had mentioned it in the chat, and I thought, you know, I've heard that kind of floated around. Don't want it to happen. I'd love to see what DeVante does.
I'd be stunned. They won 10 games last year, and the goal now is to win more than 10, and he can't start trading very good players. Like the guys I'm mentioning, Grant and Wilson and stuff, they're like marginal guys. They're guys on the team. Parker, when he's ready to go, is a big-time player. Now, I know he's always hurt and all this stuff. I get it. Trust me. I get it more than anybody. I have ripped him more than anybody the past so many years in this show. But, you know, if you want to win more than 10, you can't stay rebuilding forever, and you got to actually hold on to some high-level players. Parker, when he's healthy, is a high-level player. We can't keep trading guys. That I wouldn't do. I mean, nothing surprises me with this front office. Don't move anybody, clearly. We've seen that. But that would stun me, actually. Because, I mean, at some point, you got to win games.
How many seasons has he been able to start all 16 games?
None.
One, two, three, four, five, six seasons he's been with us.
Probably none. Or one, maybe. None, nope. Right? None. But the point, though, is now we have some other guys, Lee. So if he does go out for, like, a few weeks, the world's not going to fall. You know, we got some other guys. Unless they're all hurt at once, then we are screwed. But
right, it's true.
But
we do have backup guys in case.
Exactly. So I wouldn't just let him play out his contract. Then you can send him on his way if you want. I wouldn't look to trade. I mean, for a late round pick, that ain't going to help us this year. And the goal is to win games this year. Now you got jobs on the line here for these guys. Jamie Vernon, I really don't want to read this question, but I'm going to read this because he sent it in and he seems like a really nice guy.
Jamie, if it has anything to do with Deshaun Watson, don't even.
No. Well, okay, good. No, it's not that. No.
All right, good.
It's about our quarterback. And it's okay. Like, just curious, why do you think there's so much negativity around Tua from certain parts of the media? It's a long like paragraph, but that's like the long and short of the question. I think he's done okay. Certainly, okay, and he goes on. Look, okay. Here's what there's negativity around him in some circles, but it's really no more or less than any other starting quarterback in this league. Fans of the Dolphins are just so hyper focused on their guy, which I get. You're fans of one team, you're focused on your guy, but a lot of other quarterbacks around this league get ripped. You know, Josh Allen with the Bills just signed a mega contract. There's fans of the Bills saying we're nuts for. I mean, there's negativity around every player. Just fans of the Dolphins just are hyper focused on their guy, which I get. And nobody wants to read negative stuff about a guy on the team they root for. But you also have to factor in two things. Number one, he did not play great last year. Now, you can make excuses. Hip injury, it's all valid. It's all valid. He had the hip. Offensive coordinator might not have been a fit for him. Offensive line was a mess. In and out with the other quarterback there. So it's all valid, but he didn't play great when he was on the field. He had a couple shining moments, but he didn't look great all the time. So that's where some of it comes from. And here's the other thing, folks. Not everyone has to like everyone. Some people are going to be negative and down on players. I don't think there's more negativity on him compared to other players. I just think as fans of the Dolphins, we just focus in on it more because that's our guy on our team.
I think partly, though, I do think that they focus a lot on Tua, and I think that they focus negatively on Tua than maybe some of the other quarterbacks that are out there. And I think part of that is because of where he came from, you know, coming from Alabama, where, you know, people give the reasons that he succeeded there being, you know, that he had, what, three or four number one wide receivers or first round wide receivers or first two rounds of wide receivers on his team. You know, so I think there's that. Secondly, they look at his height, you know, and that's a big thing nowadays. If you're not a certain height, then you're not going to be successful in the NFL, and it doesn't matter. And then thirdly, I think it's just that you see what the team did last year, right? With Coach Flores taking that winning mentality and saying, if I have my starting quarterback who's struggling, I'm going to try my hand with the other quarterback to see if we can win this game. That had less to do about Tua than it did about winning football games and trying to make it to the playoffs last season. And I think some people have a hard time understanding that. And I'll tell you that the national media really doesn't keep, and we've said this before too, Mike, national media doesn't keep as focused on the team as we do here locally.
It's impossible for them to watch every team that closely.
Exactly. So they're going to make their assumptions. I think Cowherd has mentioned a couple of different times that, you know, that Tua reminds him of Phil Sims,
which,
you know,
is not a knock. I know
it's
some
not.
Fans
Phil Sims is a great quarterback.
Phil Sims, look, he's like a borderline Hall of Famer with two Super Bowl rings. That's exactly. Not a knock. So if fans take that as a knock, that's not on him. That's on you.
But Cowherd is always trying to knock Tua in some way, shape, or form. But you know, what he's saying is that everything has to be perfect in order for Tua to be successful. Right. And we've already seen that not to be the case.
Yeah,
you know, where Tua's been able to run for the first down or make plays with his feet or make plays with his arm, you know? Mm-hmm. So again, these national media folks, I would bet you any amount of money that they do not sit down and watch a 3-hour Miami Dolphins football game unless their team is the one playing against the Miami Dolphins. So they're just going to take snips here and there, and they're not going to know. So I think that's where, and last year, Tua's performance, I always say it was good enough. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was good enough to get us, you know, how many wins. And of course, with the support of the defense. And then somebody already mentioned it in the chat, and this will be the last thing I mentioned, but you know, they're always comparing him to the other quarterbacks that were drafted.
As they should.
And Herbert had a rookie of the year performance last year. And he deserves that credit because he did very well. I had him on fantasy football, unfortunately. Unfortunately, he won me my league, right? But it was hard for me to root for him because I was rooting for Tua. But, you know, I guess two guys can still be good in the same league as long as they're not playing each other every game.
You are always compared to the people you were in the same draft as. 1983 draft. They always talk about Elway, Marino, Eason, O'Brien, all those quarterbacks. 2004, they talk about Eli, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning's draft with Leaf, although Leaf was in and out league quick. They always compared him to – you're yep. always compared to the guys you're picked around. It's just – so you, fans of Dolphins, one, as I said, you can't go back in the time machine and redo the draft. If that was possible, I guarantee you 100% they would take Herbert. That ain't happening. So here's your quarterback. He's good, and it's just – don't let watching clips of the media, unless it's something totally egregious, don't let it get you worked up for the most part, because everyone has an opinion. And you know what? It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbow. So it is what it is.
Got to give love to King Crowder, though. Got to give
Channing
love to
Crowder, King Crowder. That was amazing. He is the most entertaining son of a gun on radio and TV. He is so good. And that first, whatever, 20 seconds is like, oh, Colin, there's no doubt. They don't like you down here. Don't they?
Let me make it very clear. They do not like you.
Clear. They do not like you here. And Colin Cowherd's like, look, the guys, it's pro wrestling. Really. All these guys on TV is pro wrestling. If they don't get a reaction, they're not doing their job. No one's going to say, here's the thing, with all these shows on Fox, NFL Network, ESPN, CBS, if they go on there and go, yeah, he's okay, let's see what happens next week, they're going to get fired. They want either the guy's great, he's good, or they want the guy's bad. It's either black or white. These shows aren't doing nuance. They want nuance, they'd be fired because it's boring. If you turn into a show and they said, well, he's okay. Let's see what happens next week. You know, what the hell's that? What am I watching? It's like watching paint dry. That's not what they're giving you.
Okay. So Rafa just added too. Russo, by the way, had two sacks for the Bills the other game, and Phillips didn't have any sacks. Oh, no. So now they're starting that comparison too.
Well, that's what happens in drafts. It happens all the time. Last question, which leads into our final topic. So I'm going to read the question, then we're going to go into our final topic. Last question from Jay Pessin. It's a three-parter. Do you think Jakeem Grant will make the roster? And if they'll keep six receivers, we're deep at tight end. Are we going to keep three or four? And who would be your biggest surprise cut? Now, we're going to answer that, Ian, with our final topic of the night here. And that's we're going to go through the roster, and we're going to try to get it down to 53.
Oh,
as
boy.
It stands today. So I did my 53. I'm going to read it off and
when tell we get if to I got parts, the
exactly. So and I'm going to say wide receiver and linebacker to the end on purpose because those are the two big areas. So I'm going to start with like the easy stuffs.
And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge all of our viewers and listeners that are watching.
Let us know
who
you think we're wrong.
Exactly. Let us know who you think should be on or who you think should not be on. Make sure to type and let us know what you're thinking.
Okay, let's start easy quarterback. You got two
starting Sinnott. Oh, never mind. Tua, that's easy.
Tua and Brissett,
that's the easiest one besides special teams, too, by the
special
way.
Special teams, yeah, we'll go punter, long snapper, and kicker. Paladay, Sanders, and Ferguson, those three are locked. So we're at five. Off to a rip-roaring start. I guarantee we nailed those five.
We agree.
Okay, let's go offensive line. Here's who I got. Austin Jackson. Solomon Kinley, Michael Dieter, Robert Hunt, Eichenberg, Jesse Davis, and I'm going to go Greg Little, Matt Skira, and I'm going to put Pankey for now, although I don't think he'll be around after they get down to 53. So I got him carrying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, those nine. Do you think out of the guys I left out, who did I leave out? I left out.
I'm keeping Jones. I'm keeping Jones and get rid of Pankey.
You got Robert Jones?
Yep.
Okay, you got Jones to the Pankey. All right, so it's still nine overall, though, is the point. Larnell Coleman's probably going to practice squad after he clears waivers. Robert Jones, Cameron Tom, and Durval Quizzes Neto. So I got those guys being cut. So we're at nine here.
Yep. So we were the same for eight out of nine, which is actually
exactly, which is fine. If I want to go Jones over, whatever. It's still nine, so I'm good there.
Yep.
Okay, let's go tight end. I got four. With Mike Gesicki, Hunter Long, Shaheen, and Smythe. You keeping anybody else?
Gesicki, when it comes Smythe, to Shaheen and Long, that's who I have. Now, here's an interesting question. This is something that was brought up. You know, tickets went on sale recently for the Miami Dolphins versus London game. Do you know that it's a requirement? They test you for vaccination or they test you to make sure that you are vaccinated to get into England.
We'll just so leave him home. He's off.
I was going to say, he's just going to have to be off for the week, right? That's exactly what you're going to have to do.
And it might not be just him. There might be others that we don't know about, too.
That's true. We don't know. Right. Exactly.
We don't know. So, but exactly. I'm not going to worry about my third string tight end. If
you were right. The same four. Same four.
Is the point. Absolutely. Okay. Let's go defensive line. Now, this is not linebackers, just defensive line. Agba, Wilkins, Raekwon, Adam Butler, Zach Sealer, John Jenkins. So I'm cutting Strobridge, Jones, Ledbetter. That's pretty much it.
I'm identical to you. Agba, Seiler, Wilkins, Butler, Jenkins, and Davis.
Yep. So 1, 2, 3, 4. We got six there.
Yep.
We got cornerback. First, let's go corner first. Obviously, Jones, Xavier, Nick Needham, Justin Coleman, Igbunogany, and I'm keeping Trill Williams because he ain't making it through waivers, and Jamal Perry. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What do you got? Are you going to keep either Javaris Davis, Tino Wallace, or Cravon LeBlanc?
So here's who I got. Okay. And I did all defensive backs.
Okay. Well, okay. Okay, then. Let me give you my safeties then.
Okay, go ahead.
Holland, Rowe, McCourty, Jones, Fedulum. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I got 12 total.
I have 11 total. So I got Howard, Igbunogany, Byron Jones, Rowe, Brandon Jones, Holland, McCourty, Perry, Needham, Coleman, and Fedulum.
So who the hell, so you don't have Trill Williams.
Nope. But okay. I think he might be a great addition to the practice squad. Remember, you're going to need
that.
Gonna
he ain't going to make it through waivers.
That's the thing.
There's no way he's going to make it through.
And LeBlanc has gone too. Yeah.
LeBlanc. So I have 11. So I have 12. You have 11. Let me write this down.
Yeah.
So E, Mike. Okay. And that's for both. Okay. So let's go.
Look at the spelling. Fegelemonem. Eminem.
Yes, much close. Let's go linebacker. Jerome Baker, McKenney, Phillips, Andrew Van Ginkle, Scarlett, Elandon Roberts, Vince Beagle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 7. How many you got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But I'll tell you, I
got. Who's your eighth?
I got Phillips, Van Ginkle, McKenney, Baker, Scarlett, Riley, which is different than.
He's the one. He has to be the one.
Yep.
So you got eight.
Aguavin.
Oh, you got a guav? Hold on. So you got. So that's 9 you got to have.
Well, I don't have.
Roberts?
I don't have Beagle.
I don't have Beagle.
Yep.
He has really 8. Well, hold on. You got.
Phillips, Van Ginkle, McKenney, Baker. So that's 4 so far.
4.
Scarlett,
5.
Riley, Aguavin, and Roberts. Landon Roberts. Yep.
Riley, Beagle, and Roberts. So you got 9?
Okay. I don't have Beagle.
Okay, you got 8 then.
Yes.
Okay. So you picked up one there, and I picked up one there. So we're still at the same amount. Okay.
Correct.
Here's where it gets interesting now. We got 2 positions left. So we're even, essentially, going into these last 2.
Perfect.
Will Fuller, Parker, Waddle, Preston, Albert Wilson, Hollins, and Perry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many? What do you got?
I got Grant instead of Perry.
So you still have 7.
But no. So it's Parker, Waddle, Hollins, Wilson. That's 4. Fuller, which remember, first game won't count towards the 53. Then Grant and Williams.
Hold on.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah. So it's 7 altogether.
7 and 7. Yeah. 7 is. Yeah. Because even though he's not going to play week 1, he still has to be on the active 53. So we should each have 3 running backs then, right?
I have 4 running backs.
Ian, you got to do your – hold on. Okay. I know your 4th is going to be not the same as mine. So I got Brown, Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed. You probably got Dokes, right?
Of course.
Of course. So you got 4. I got 3. Let's do the math here. I'm going to do your math. 2, 6, 7, 13. 9 is 22. 4 is 26. 7, 20, 29, 35, 35, and 11, 46. Ian, you got 1 guy too many.
Remember what I said.
But he still has to be on the active roster, though.
Oh, well, he won't count against the initial 53, though.
Oh, okay. So that's where you're okay.
So
okay.
Fuller's the extra one. Yeah.
Okay. So that's where you're carrying the extra one. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So here's who we're now. Here's the Wompson. Now you got. Let me get back to this other screen. Hold on.
You've got 3 running backs going in?
That's all we need. Because I think we can carry him on the practice squad, Dokes, and just call, I think he'll get through waivers. We'll be able to call him up at any point if we need him. Here's some surprise cuts. Not surprise. Shaq Griffin, linebacker. We both don't have him on the team.
He's
love to have him.
Favorite, man. Yeah, everybody I know, loved him. And he had one of his best practices. He said he's having one of the best training camps he's had in his career.
Now, you would be cutting. Now, I'm cutting Riley. You don't. You have him on the team.
Right.
Seathan Carter, the tight end who we signed this offseason. I don't know. I mean, if they carry 5 tight ends, I'd be stunned.
Yeah,
I don't see how they do that. Jason Strobridge, who was a 5th-round pick last year. We don't have him on the team.
Nope.
Kirk Merritt. There's just too many wide receivers for him. So, those are some of the names they're probably going to have to. Have to cut. And once again, this is just our predictions. We could be totally wrong on a couple of these things, but I think we're close. I think we're in the neighborhood with some of this. Really, linebacker and wide receiver are the 2 that are going to be the most interesting, because if they can trade Grant, then that does make things easier and maybe give someone like Merritt a shot to make the roster. I don't know. And linebacker, if they want to keep Shaq Griffin, who's going? Are you going to cut? Maybe a cut Elandon Roberts, Vince Beagle. I don't know. So that's going to be the interesting one. Linebacker and wide receiver, obviously. I think the rest we're pretty close on. We'll see what they do. But
here's the other thing that's going to be really interesting is that as other teams make cuts,
that's the thing.
Coach Flores loves to kind of pick some needles out of haystacks.
They're going to have to, I think.
Yeah,
I think they do. Here's the thing. So after Tuesday at 4 when they make their moves, then I think they have 24 hours to put in waiver claims. And here's where they're going to be looking, folks. You know exactly where they're going to be looking. Offensive line running back. The two weak areas on this team, offensive line running back, they're going to look for something. Obviously, second string offensive line, like we've said 100 times, there's got to be somebody out there. And then running back, you know, I like the guys we got, but the guys we got aren't exactly Franco Harris and Walter Payton, let's just say. So if they can get a younger guy or something who they feel is a little bit of an upgrade there, because I do think they can hold your guy on a practice squad. I think he'll clear waivers. You can put him on the practice squad dokes and just have him there. Right. I don't know if they need him on the 53 right out of the gate, but we'll see. Cause I mean, once again, he's looked good. There's a chance and we're just taking guesses at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I hope he gets the opportunity to be on the squad, but you know, we'll see. As long as even if he's on the practice squad, then you know that there possibly could be an opportunity for him.
Absolutely. But the linebacker one really is the most interesting because there's some names there. I mean, nothing outstanding, obviously, superstar, but a lot of guys like Riley, Scarlett, Shaq Griffin, Vince Beagle types. They're all kind of the same type who are very solid NFL players. And I don't think they're all going to make it. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
We're in a situation that I don't think we've been in for a very long time where when we release players, they are going to go to teams and they could potentially be starting or at least being in that fill-in role at different points during a game. And usually that doesn't happen with the Miami Dolphins. No. Usually we're still struggling to fill holes by, you know, game one of the season. There's a weakness somewhere. And yeah, we do have some weaknesses.
Not like years past.
No, not like the past. This has been amazing. It really has.
Yeah,
it makes me more excited for week one, man. I wish it were tomorrow, dude. I do too. I will tell you, there's not going to be a lot of sleep in the night before because I'm going to be so hyped.
First, we're going to know everything we need to know about this season, weeks one and two. Now, that's not saying if we start off 0-2, worst case scenario, the sky is falling, it's over, because it's not. You can, if they start off 0-2 in a 17-game season, there's still a lot of time to come back. Absolutely. But those first two games, the same first two games as last year, too, at New England, home against the Bills, is going to tell a lot because those are teams inside the AFC East. One of the teams on paper, Patriots, I'm not saying we're like head and shoulders above them. At worst, we're the same. Some people think we're a little bit better. We got to win some of those games, or at the very worst, we got to be neck and neck with these teams. So where if they do lose, they're right there, which even last year, outside of the last game, obviously, they didn't get blown out and really in any losses. They were in every game. They got to come out of the gate stronger, though. The one thing here with this head coach, the past two seasons, he comes out of the gate slow. 2019, you can make an excuse. It was just an awful team. I get it. But they got to come out of the gate faster. They really do. And weeks one and two, you know, they can beat the Bills. Look, I know the Bills are good. But it's going to be hotter than hell in Miami. There's no doubt they can't win that game. At the very worst, they can't lose like they did week 17 last year. They got to hang tight with them, punch for punch. Maybe they lose a heartbreaker. Okay, that's fine. But they got to show the Bills that the team they saw at the end of last year ain't the same team that's on the field now. So they got to come out of the gate faster in 2021.
Agreed. And I think we've got the team that can do it, man. I really just – there's something about this group, something about Coach Flores – that makes you think this could be a really special season, you know, and I've said that in the past, but for some reason this year, it feels different.
Yeah, it does. So we'll see. That's all for this week's show. Want to thank everyone for listening. Be sure to follow Ian Berger at Ian693_ on Twitter. Also check out his YouTube page, head to YouTube and search Big E Miami Dolphins. Go to our YouTube page. Go to YouTube and search Dolphins Talk. And as always, Ian, subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button. Smash it.
I have one last thing to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Beers, bets, and balls, right?
Beers, balls, and betting.
Okay. That's our new slogan. I will get it right eventually.
That's right. And everyone, as a reminder, Bud Light, limited edition, Miami Dolphins bottles, participating Miami area retailers. Drink responsibly. Get them before they run out while supplies last. Bud Light, everyone go to betus.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. If you're paying by crypto, promo code Dolphins Talk 200. Manscaped, manscaped.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20%, get free shipping.
Mow your lawns,
right. What else am I forgetting? Next week, we're going to have a big week. Here's what's going on, Ian, as you know about this. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday. We got
back-to-back shows here. Wednesday will be the regular show with Ian and myself, and then Thursday will be our preseason roundtable show with Tom Ernesty, Aaron the Brain. I love Aaron the Brain. And Josh Katzker. So everyone check out our roundtable show that we do prior to each year next Thursday. So we're going to be back with live shows both Wednesday and Thursday of next week. Tom and myself will have a post-game wrap-up show Sunday after the Cincinnati game to break that down, talk about everything that happened.
We have our veteran. I know we've got
military
some
contest.
Yeah, the
yes.
military contest.
So here's the deal with the military contest. I'm so thankful you brought this up. So last week we said we were going to give away two packages to games. This week, we're giving away three. So the military contest, if you are a vet either serving now or if you retire from the service, email me at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Again, email me, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com, and you have to August 31st. So what's next Wednesday? We might be able to announce the winner on next Wednesday show.
That would be pretty awesome.
So, yeah, I would have to go I've sort of started to whittle down the entries I have, but we're still taking new entries. So send me which home game you want to go to, when you served, and where, and also why you should win. Just like one or two sentences why you should win, I guess. And we're going to pick three winners for three games. And you can pick any home game you want. Any home game you want. We will send you the game with two tickets, a parking pass, and food money, and maybe a little something extra thrown in as a surprise. So, yes, our military contest is coming to an end, and maybe next week, if I can get everything lined up in time, we can announce the winners, and that will be fun, Ian.
That will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we're able to announce the winners. If not next week, we'll definitely do it the following week. But
yeah,
it's great
we will
that we
do
got
it
now
prior
three
to week
games.
One.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's a lot. So we will do it prior to week one. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Want to give a big shout out to our fans in the UK who listen.
Some that stay awake at crazy hours in the morning.
If you're watching tomorrow, have a jolly good day.
We know one of our top fans over there, Ian, is going to be listening tomorrow because he's not
Ian,
able to
Ian
stay up.
Carter, yes, love the Ian. So everyone, have a great Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.